Previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
A lot of talk about this on television last night. I saw it featured on Carte Blanche as well. Joining us on the line, not in studio, but joining us now is Ian Cameron, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Police, with the new proposed regulations that could fundamentally change the way private security companies operate in South Africa. He's here to unpack what's on the table, what the potential risks are, and how the public can still weigh in before it's too late. Ian Cameron, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. I'm told you're in Germany. We're talking to you in Germany this morning.
Yeah, you're correct. We had a police conference with a whole lot of police services from all over the world. We're here at the moment.
Let's start with the basics, Ian. What exactly are these proposed regulations and how would they change the way that private security operates in South Africa?
Yeah, well, there's a whole list of things. I think in summary, the things that really concern us is the fact that they want to remove less lethal weapon options or ammunition options from security companies. So for example, rubber bullets, tasers, that type of thing. And I'll get to why that is significant just now. But it also means that the regulator can arbitrarily just suspend the services of a security company. And it could potentially mean that overnight, a private security firm cannot deliver the services that they were delivering, for example, yesterday. On top of that, they are bringing in or proposing to bring in regulations regarding firearm control. Now, in my opinion, it's obviously important to have solid firearm control. It's critical for us to have solid regulations and legislation on it. But the problem with the way that this is being done seems to be reinventing the wheel a bit on the South African Police Service. And instead of us keeping the South African Police Service accountable, we're now busy developing, you know, add-ons that I think can be very counterproductive. And obviously, as I said at the beginning, it basically means that overnight, you not only might lose a service, but people could potentially lose their jobs.
Ian, the DA describes this move as crippling for the industry. How realistic is the fear that security guards could be left virtually defenseless while criminals remain heavily armed?
Well, the argument is quite simple. I listened to the CEO of CIRA the other night, and he's a well-spoken man, and you know, he had a good discussion on Newsroom Africa, but a few things that bothered me from the discussion was, and this is what they seem to miss, is that these regulations would mean that, for example, a jewelry store that's in a shopping mall could not be guarded with a certain firearm anymore. So you could potentially go and rob it with a pocket knife, that kind of thing. It potentially means that overnight, a security guard expected to guard a mine wouldn't have the necessary equipment to do so. So he would need to use a handgun or a pistol versus a whole lot of illegal miners with AK-47s, you know. So it doesn't level the playing field in any way. And the problem is that they say that it's to stop rogue elements. Now, we all know that despite changes in legislation or regulation, it didn't change the amount of illicit firearms in South Africa because rogue elements just continue to do what they do. It's critical for us, therefore, to make sure that we enforce what we have now before we make amendments of things that we haven't even attempted to do with the existing legislation or regulation.
Ian, you mentioned rogue elements. You know, should the rogue elements then perhaps in private security not be handled under existing laws instead of a blanket disarmament? I mean, is it not really a case of, you know, making the whole industry suffer because of a few bad apples?
Yeah, well, that's spot on. I think you summarize it perfectly. And if we use the Eastern Cape as an example, so 2 weeks ago, we were in the Eastern Cape doing oversight specifically regarding extortion. And we went to East London, we went to Mthatha and all around. And one of the most worrying things that kept on coming up was rogue security companies that operate with certain taxi bosses and that they use the combination to extort. And it's quite a simple model because what they do is that the security company is supposedly appointed just to protect the taxi boss. And then when the arrest or any attempt at an arrest happens, the security company just says, sorry, I was just there to provide a protection to the specific individual. Meanwhile, they're in cahoots with each other. it's not difficult to stop that with existing legislation. We've got all the relevant organized crime legislation. We've got a prosecuting authority. The problem, in my opinion, is either it could be a problem with political will sometimes, and I think it's a problem in terms of certain individuals on a local law enforcement level that unfortunately sometimes benefit from these rogue elements. And if we're not going to change that, then regulation changes won't change anything.
Ian, just one question from my side. Why now, all of a sudden?
It's a very good question. It started, the first proposed amendments, in my opinion, that I know of regarding this already started around 2003. So it's a very long time ago, and I think the industry has developed and changed quite a bit. Now, the problem is that the regulator itself, in my opinion, have a lot to answer for with regards to their own financials. There's serious question marks with material findings by the Auditor General. So now the very body that has to be a moral compass for the industry themselves have so many question marks around them. So why now? I think from a political point of view, it does feel like an attempt at disarmament. What worries me about this is the fact that the private security industry fills such a significant gap in safety and security in South Africa, and they fill a gap that the state wasn't able to. So I don't know if they feel threatened by the private security industry, that's a possibility, or whether they see a way of benefiting financially out of it, not necessarily in a corrupt way, but the more you regulate, the more you force people to pay, you know, membership fees, et cetera, it all has a knock-on effect. It's difficult to say exactly what what the reason for it is.
You mentioned the private security industry plays a vital role in curbing crime in South Africa. But beyond safety, what's at stake economically with over 500,000 people employed in the sector? What kind of impact would this have or these regulations have on jobs and livelihoods as well?
No, I mean it's massive, and it's hundreds of thousands of jobs that are potentially on the line. And I know that the regulator is now saying that's not true at all, but in fact it is. If you read the regulations, it's there on paper. They can just if say for example I send them a tip off to say that I have a hunch that something is wrong at Algoa FM, and then they can close you overnight. They can arbitrarily just close you. And obviously, I mean, if there's blatant wrongdoing and blatant criminality, it's a different story, and we all know that. Any fair person knows that. But this way of just draconianly stepping in and almost like a dictatorship, just closing and firing, it just doesn't make sense at all. In fact, I want to go as far as saying it should be tested in a constitutional court, because I don't think that these regulations can be seen as constitutional. I think they would be in contravention of so many other parts of legislation in the country.
Ian, lastly, what are the avenues for public participation for listeners who want to get involved or voice their concerns? And how can they make sure the objections are heard before the deadline? And when is the deadline?
Yeah, so the deadline is on the 25th of this month, so the 25th of April. And a lot of people think that you have to be a security company to object or to submit an opinion, and that's not the case. So we encourage people to send an email to submissions@sira.co.za. I want to go as far as saying they need to send so many that the whole system bombs out, because we need to send a very clear message. So they need to send an email to regulations@sira.co.za.
Ian Cameron joins us on air this morning, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Police, live from Germany. Thank you for your insights, and we'll catch up really soon.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.